The word love, a much misused or overused word in the English language. I've often said when preaching at a wedding, something I haven't done this year, believe it or not, but when preaching at a wedding, I'm surprising when English has such a large vocabulary, it only has one word for love, whereas Greek at least has three. Now, of course, as my German wife discovered when she moved to Britain, that in informal colloquial English, sometimes love is a friendly form of address. Do you know? It's all right, love. In fact, her famous one to remember was going to work, as she worked for a hotel and catering agency at the time, going to work in various places and being greeted, "Want a cup of tea, love?" Anyway, certainly I was trying to do the Bristolian accent, which is where she was working, Bristol. But in Greek, there are, as I say, three words at least. One is philio, which is the love of a mutual friendship. You know, I love being in his or her company. Good friendship. Second is eros, which is fairly obvious, sexual love. And the third is agape, utter self-giving love, expecting nothing in return. And that's the word that's used several times in the first part of that reading that Larry brought to us from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. It's a continuation of practical instructions for Christian living that we've heard over the last couple of weeks with our readings from Romans. He starts by saying that the only debt to owe is one of unconditional love. Owe no one anything except to love one another. The law, the Ten Commandments, are always seen in negative terms, aren't they? We usually use the old-fashioned language and say, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. I remember reading about a school project on religious education, surveying teenagers as to what they thought the Ten Commandments were, and of course they came up with various additional ones, one of which was, thou shalt not be stupid. But if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four are about our duty towards God, the last six, of which four are quoted here, about adultery, murder, stealing, and coveting, are about our duty towards others. But St. Paul encourages us to think positively, to love our neighbour. And of course, our neighbour is not just the person who lives next door to us, or if you're living, as I do, in a block of flats, those who live above you, alongside you, and below you. And as some of you know, we have a water engineer who lives above us, who managed to flood his flat and send water into ours. He was rather embarrassed when he gave us his business card with his occupation. No, to not just our next door neighbour, but those who we interact with at work, in other circles that we move in, and of course to the stranger, those who are different. Love them as you might love yourself. Therefore, no theft, murder, or misuse of sex. Love your neighbour as yourself. Of course, it actually comes from a quotation from the book of Leviticus. And of course, in turn, is quoted by Jesus in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. And it's one of another examples of the link between St. Paul and Jesus. Many people argue, oh, Paul's theology is totally different. But here you have once more him quoting something that Jesus himself quoted. No reinvention here. We are, the only debt to owe is one of an unconditional love. Secondly, St. Paul calls us to a distinctive lifestyle. And we get the contrast here again in this passage from Romans between darkness and light. The night is far gone, says St. Paul, the day is near. Lay aside the works of darkness, put on the armour of light. You see the contrast. It's a very familiar theme in the New Testament. Of course, we do get a list of things to avoid. Notice reveling, drunkenness, debauchery, and licentiousness, quarrelling, and jealousy. I have to say, it's actually a short list by St. Paul's standards, but it still is quite a list of things. Yes, they are negative, but then he gives us the positive, doesn't he? Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. A very positive thing to say. But what does it mean? How do you clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, put on, I know how you put it on or clothe yourself. It's Paul, of course, reiterating his earlier theme between the contrast between the flesh or the sinful nature and instead the work of the Spirit. The actions of the flesh or the sinful nature he talks about and says to make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires, hence again this list, in contrast to the work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of Christians. As he writes earlier in the epistle, the life in the Spirit, God's Spirit living within each believer, has set me free from the law and the law of sin and death. It is a call to us to be open to listen to what God by his Spirit is saying to us through Scripture, through prayer, through times of worship such as these. We are to keep in step with, listen to what the Spirit is saying. And of course, as always, to think, as some people wear bracelets to remind them, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Think in circumstances what Jesus would do. Keep in step with the Spirit. Look to live in the light and not in the darkness. So much for what St. Paul has to say there. We then, if I can briefly also look at this passage from St. Matthew's Gospel, a call to reconciliation between Christians. The six verses we have here are unique to Matthew's Gospel. They don't appear elsewhere. They're interesting, of course, also because the word church is used, when, of course, the Christian church as such in the time of Jesus didn't exist. So it's always a question for theologians exactly what Jesus was talking about. But the church is the assembly of believers. And what Jesus says, if someone does something wrong, don't ignore it, paper over the cracks, which is often tempting to do, or hold a grudge, which is also very easy to do. No. Go and tell that person, just the two of you. I'm always grateful when those in the congregation occasionally speak to me and say, Ricky, you said so-and-so, and that, you know, was misunderstood. Or you did something, you know, which you found difficult, whatever. I much prefer people to come and tell me about it. Often it's just a misunderstanding of what I've said, rather than ignoring it or being angry or upset by it. In fact, that Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, of course, is this reminder of the failure to warn people. The prophet Ezekiel was told by God that he must pass on the warning. It was up to the people to respond, but he had a duty to warn them. And of course, a one-to-one discussion between people often resolves problems. So as my note says here, if I get something wrong, come and tell me. It's often because I've said something, because of my accent, my culture, can lead to a misunderstanding, particularly in what is our very multicultural and multinational congregation that we have here. If, of course, there is no success in that, then you are to take two or three others along to provide a bit more of a reality check. And in many respects, it's taking part of the requirement of Old Testament law, which is very similar. Only then do you take it to the wider assembly, and only if that fails do you disassociate from the person, separate from them. God is calling his people to be both reconciled to God, to the salvation Christ has won for us, and being reconciled to each other. So in conclusion this morning, what are we to draw from these three passages that we've heard this morning, particularly from Paul and Jesus in Matthew's Gospel? Well, firstly, that we owe a debt of unconditional love, agape love, in response to the unconditional love shown to us in Christ. We are to have that mantra, love your neighbour as yourself. Love your neighbour as yourself, in response to Jesus' love for us. Secondly, we are to have a lifestyle that is distinctive, hopefully one that is attractive to others. Living in the way that Jesus would live, with God's Spirit at work within us. And then, if things do go wrong with others, address the problem. Go and seek reconciliation. Strive for reconciliation, so that we do show love, but people will know we belong to Jesus because of our love for one another. May we be a people this week who do show that love, that do show that distinctive lifestyle, who are reconciled to God and to each other. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.